The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
We loved watching Nelson Aspin on our TV screens for 20 years, giving us all the big entertainment scoops on Sunrise. And we got a special encore appearance on the weekend when Nelson made it all the way to Perth to be one of the stars of a record-breaking telethon. He's a good mate of the West Live, and he joins us now. Nelson Aspin, it's great to have you back in Perth, buddy.
Hey, good morning. I am so lucky and grateful and happy to be back. It's just one of my favorite places on earth.
And now, we had the chance to catch up at Telethon, which was fantastic. In between you singing and being on the panel and in the call room, they sure worked you pretty hard. Tell me about your Telethon experience.
Yeah, well, that's what we all do when we participate. And everybody works hard, from the volunteers to the talent, you name it. I mean, it's quite a massive and impressive operation. I first did Telethon in 2019, and I was so swept away by the whole experience that I said, I'm coming back anytime you'll have me. And then, of course, COVID came and I couldn't get back here. So this was my happy return to not only Australia, but to Telethon.
That's it. And reuniting with your friends from Sunrise. And didn't they provide some highlights, hey? It was Nat Barr as Cyndi Lauper and Koshy as Michael Hutchence. did you enjoy seeing them having some fun?
I did. You know, I've known these people for 20 years. So it's I see more of them actually than I do of some of my own family members. So the Sunrise family, even though I'm not technically a part of it anymore, is still intact, and that's a lifelong commitment. once you're in, you can't, it's almost like the mafia. Once you're in, you can't get out.
Well, that's it. 20 years, you get less for murder, I think, sometimes. And now, as I mentioned, you finished up on Sunrise early this year. Has your body clock reset now that you're not having to do live crosses to the Australian time zone on a daily basis?
Well, keep in mind that when I do live crosses to Australia, it's the afternoon or early evening for me. So it works out quite perfectly because it's happy hour. So as soon as I'm finished saying good morning, I make a martini. So it all works out just beautifully. I'll tell you what's been the biggest adjustment for me, Ben, is and a happy adjustment, is I've kind of gone on an entertainment and pop culture diet. I don't feel as compelled to keep up with the latest bit of minutia about Kim Kardashian or whatever. So, it is kind of nice to tune out a little bit. And so I've enjoyed that break. And it's enabled me to do more writing, to do more singing, to spend more time on our new home. So it's all working out very well. And, I'm still around. I'm always available to talk. You have my number.
And I can't believe that you've proved that life does go on if you don't keep up with all the latest news in the Kardashian clan. That is groundbreaking research that you've pioneered here. And so of all the amazing entertainment stories you broke over those years, what really stands out in your mind?
Well, I've interviewed thousands and thousands of celebrities and hundreds of red carpet events. But for me, the things that strike out are the ones that most people don't want to, fondly remember because they're tragic. The tragic news stories stand out in my mind because they require so much responsibility, so much care, so much thoughtfulness. And it really does stretch your muscles. Michael Jackson's unexpected death occupied me for a year. I broke the news live on the air. It happened that I was giving Farrah Fawcett's obituary at the moment I got a voice in my ear with the breaking news about Michael Jackson. And that literally occupied a year of my life, of running around from Neverland Ranch to his house in Bel Air to the Forest Lawn Cemetery to the trial and the memorial. It was all consuming. And those kinds of stories do that. I was on a holiday in Bermuda when I got a tip that Heath Ledger had passed away. And the next thing I know, in the middle of January, which is dead winter in New York City, I'm flying from Bermuda with a t-shirt and shorts, is all I had on my back, buying winter clothes at the airport to go report from Soho, where Heath's apartment was. I mean, it's those big stories, Whitney Houston's passing or even losing legends, like Loretta Lynn. Those are the big and important stories, and they move me.
Mm. And they moved us, listening to you talk about them on Sunrise every morning for us here in Australia. And as you said, though, now you've had more time to focus on other projects. And let's dig into those a little bit more deeply. You've been performing a show in the US in the past few weeks. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the show, it's called Welcome Home, but it's actually skewed around my new book. So I always like to get as much bang for the buck as I can. So I had a new book coming out, and I thought a great way to promote it and to enjoy my musical side was to do a cabaret show skewed around the book. I'm actually going to be doing a little bit of that here in Australia as well. But the book is called Your Home is Your Castle. Live like an A-lister in a post-pandemic world. And the motivation for writing that book was my partner and I were building our dream home. It got completely shut down and delayed and stalled by COVID. And it was the readjustment. All of a sudden we had to figure out, how am I going to broadcast from home? I broadcast from Sunrise. I never took a day off through the whole pandemic. I was on the air every single day, but it was all from home on my phone. If you were raising kids, you had to educate your kids at home. If you couldn't go to the gym, you had to work out at home. So the book is about adjusting your dreams and how to do it properly and in a beautiful, well-organized, structured moment. So the book came out in July, end of July, and to my happy and unexpected delight, it debuted at number one on Amazon's home and renovation and remodel charts, which I was not expecting. I'm not a home DIY expert by any stretch of the imagination, but my skills as an interviewer led me to interview the professionals who helped me achieve this. And that's what's in the book, Your Home is Your Castle.
Yeah, I just love it. And maybe that partly because I've been following along with your sort of interior design journey and your dream apartment in Harlem. We message every now and then when you get a new piece or you reveal a new angle or detail about the apartment. It's absolutely beautiful. Do you enjoy sharing those moments? And I'm sure a lot of your followers get something out of it, get some inspiration from what you're doing.
Well, I hope so. That's the whole reason I post it. I'm not, I don't have any paid sponsorships to post my apartment for. I don't, I'm not getting any kickback from designers. I'm just doing it because the reason why most of us post on social media, it's something we're excited to share. It's not a thing about, look at what I've got or do what I do. It's none of that. It's, you can do this too. I'm much more of that school of thought. You can do this too. And it's not about money. It's not about where you live. It's about your approach, whether that's designing something new from scratch like we did or blooming where you're planted already and just reimagining your current space.
Yeah, and I think that really comes across both in social media and in the book as well. I think it's such an important message as well to think about how you can make your home your palace, right? Because for a lot of people, they were stuck in lockdown over the pandemic and they really had to think about the space that they exist in and how to make that as appealing and as attractive as possible. And it's hugely beneficial to their mental health as well. I think it's so important to talk about it. And now, it's interesting having you here in WA because you might not know this, but we've been struggling to attract tourists post-pandemic, and there's been this big debate about how best to do it. The state government launched a big advertising campaign involving an Empire of the Sun song. And now you've been in town for a few days now. What have you done that you've loved, and how do you think Perth should sell itself to the world?
Ben, I am spending as much money as quickly as I can. I am trying to support the local economy.
We appreciate
it. In every way, shape, or form. And I'm staring at all the incredible new construction in the CBD. It's so exciting to see the Perth just does it so perfectly to bring the old architecture and the new architecture. The mix of all of it is so incredible. I'm like, should we get an apartment here? Like, I could totally spend half my life in Perth, and go back and forth between New York and Perth. I don't know how to sell Perth other than to continue to share my own enthusiasm for it. And I guess that's what the tourism board needs to do as well. Everything you could possibly want, whether it's outdoor or indoor or gastronomical or athletic or anything you want is here. And that's why we love it. I get gobsmacked, but whatever I can do to help promote Perth, I'm happy to do.
Oh, and we love you doing it. We just hope that we can give you some good weather while you're still in town. Entertainer, author, reporter, and all-round legend, Nelson Aspin. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you as always, mate. And thanks on behalf of WA for everything you did for Telethon on the weekend. And a big thanks as well for joining us on the West Live.
It's my pleasure. I'm really glad we're friends. It's great.
To have your say, or if you have a story, email the team at thewestlive@wanews.com.au.